The Around the NFL Podcast. Can believe it's not butter.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Colleen Wolf. What's up, boys and girl?
Hey, Dan.
What's up?
Colleen sitting in the Greg chair.
This is way more comfortable over here.
Yeah. I was saying before the show, like when Sheck was on a couple weeks ago, he was giving me some heat for saying, why do you always sit the fifth person when we have five in here right next to me to my left? I don't like that. I'm super uncomfortable. Having Colleen to my right with a proper amount of space, even a little barrier, it feels right.
There's some elbow room. It's nice. I'm not looking over everybody's shoulders. It's a little weird over there.
Where is Greg, by the way?
Let me tell you something, and I don't think he's going to be listening, but he's not here today, Wednesday. He stayed back in San Francisco, okay? And I have a feeling that he might be coming into the office to do the Jeselnik podcast, but not ours.
Really?
No, he's making that.
This is just something to try.
No.
I thought he was up in Napa Valley.
I mean, don't say anything.
Has he tweeted anything?
And if this show goes live before he tapes, nobody tweet at him about this. But we're going to find out for sure which podcast he likes more today.
No Twitter tattletales. You hear that?
No Twitter snitches. Y'all got stitches.
I don't want to believe that that's a reality from our supervisor that he would do that.
We'll see. This is the Around the NFL podcast, sponsored, of course, by Scott Trade. Mark, you got a portfolio?
No.
Would you like to know what a portfolio is?
I would like to know what one is.
Well, my good friend Scott Trade, will tell you all about it.
Please do. Enhance.
I mean, I couldn't tell you.
You got nothing.
I am down.
That's what Scott's for.
I am down to $0 to my name. Can he help me?
Jeez.
Now you got to roll in.
We're oversharing a little bit now.
Well, I'm the most underpaid person in the business.
Wow.
I literally make like they pay me like a pay me like a paper boy here.
Mark.
Well, you got to roll into Scott Trade, I'd imagine, with some capital. You can't just say I've got no money. Make
Wes,
me money.
Would this count as a desperate bid for you to get poached from this company right now? This making this announcement on the podcast.
Well, the company, they know. They know where I'm at.
This is the first post Super Bowl edition of the Around the NFL podcast. We are back in Culver City, beautiful Southern California, in the midst of a little bit of a heat.
It's so warm outside.
It's a little weird, a little uncomfortable to me. Get it back down into the low 70s. That would make the old Zeuser happy. But you know, am I really going to complain when people? We saw our old producer K Rich walking around NFL media today. Our old producer, of course, Crystal Rich, and she was saying how she's living in Delaware and she's driving to work an hour and a half, and she has to dig her car out of 2 feet of snow.
That's horrendous.
The former princess.
Life's too short for that.
First lady of the Around the NFL podcast, K Rich, digging her car out of 2 feet of snow.
Can't have it.
I'm not going to complain too much. But today's show will be a good one. We're going to start moving away, of course, from the 2015 season and the Super Bowl. But we have a little more to talk about after we did our hour-long show from KNBR. Some stuff to still touch on. So we will do a segment called Winners and Losers of Super Bowl 50. Breaking down some people that came out of that game looking good and some people and things and that came out of the game with a little, egg on their face.
Things. Okay.
All right.
And what else will we do? We're going to do a little bit of news, of course. And we'll be back again Thursday. So two shows, back-to-back shows.
Wow.
Why not? It's
Lindsay Rhodes will be in Thursday. So we got Colleen Wednesday and Lindsay Thursday.
This is a big week.
Which reminds me, of course, Colleen, of our great fun at the Jay Glazer party during Super Bowl week when the night ended. The old Zeuser sharing a back seat with Colleen and Lindsay after a crazy night at the Glazer party. What a fun night that was. You were great plus one.
That was so much fun. That I emailed you last night because I was going through my emails finally. And there was an email to myself at like 1:48 in the morning. And it just said, Danzas with Wolves.
Oh,
and
love
I have no idea where it came from. And I asked him, I was like, do you have any idea what this is about? I don't know if it was something that we came up with together, if somebody tweeted it to me. I have no idea. He has no idea.
So it's D-A-N-Z-U-S.
Z-U-S
with wolves and with E in there.
Yes.
Like, well,
How do you spell woven great. Without an E?
Like it
if
works.
If we got like S-canned by NFL media and had to like go off on our own,
yeah.
That would be a great like podcast.
I think it's awesome.
A lot of chatter early in the show about disbanding the entire production and vanishing from NFL media by everyone so far.
Yeah, I'm not complaining concerning. At all. But that's just such a good name that it's something to think about. I mean, Greg already has his own satellite podcast, and we're going to find – I'll tell you what. I got a feeling he might be doing that. I think he's coming in for the other podcast.
Well, I don't want to believe that that's a reality.
What would your action be if you found this out, if it was confirmed?
I'll tell you what it would be. I would declare vengeance. Brandon. Oh, Brandon.
This is amazing.
Brandon, who's wearing a collared shirt today that someone in his office already said looked like the grandmother's couch, doesn't have a vengeance drop ready. Before we get to the news, let me just want to throw one more thing by us. We're out of the Super Bowl, and a lot of people think, oh, now it's time to take it easy, relax, you know.
I am one of those people.
Yeah, it's like now it's the season of rest. But you know what? I think it's important that both our listeners and just NFL fans in general realize that just because – and Mark, you know this better than anyone – just because the Super Bowl and the NFL playoffs are over does not mean that it's time to like just go into the Cadillac trot, if you will.
The league has somehow strung together 47 events between now and June for us to –
Well, man. To that, this is kind of a public service announcement that I put together.
Welcome to the NFL Offseason. Combine, free agency, draft, nightclub. Keep grinding, Sessler.
Is Daddy ever coming back? Honestly, it's a fair question.
Can I be candid?
Wow.
You've already been very candid earlier in the show. So
our off-season podcasts are better than our in-season podcasts.
Ooh.
Interesting.
I would agree in the sense that we have to try harder to fill out the show and you fill it up. It's not just
they're more
game,
fun.
Game, game.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to put together a binder for the combine.
I want to party with
binder
you, cowboy.
Binder season.
I like that, Dan. Good job.
The last millennial using paper products. So I don't know, using your name and likeness in this campaign, Mark, I didn't clear it with you first, but you're okay with it?
Well, I mean, like with many things around here, zero power to what's being done with all our names and likenesses. So as long as it makes more money for the league, I'm happy. I couldn't be happier with the arrangement.
It's about the shield first and foremost. Let's do some news.
What the hell's going on out here?
I think your shirt's fine, Brandon. I think you're peacocking a little bit, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Peacocking?
Yeah, peacocking.
I don't like that.
Why? That's
I like it. It's sort of like paisley a little bit, right?
Describe if you're first of all, we're on YouTube. You can watch
you
it
can actually
YouTube.
See it.
But if you were describing it to the home audience, Colleen, why don't you give it a shot?
It's like colorful doilies.
I would
doilies.
Say.
Doilies. That's worse than like Tally, our wonderful director, saying it's his grandma's couch.
No, it's made out of the curtains on Uncle Rico's van.
Oh, that's worse.
It's another clue, by the way, that the Rosenthal Jeselnik show is happening. Because he produces that show, and I think that he thinks he's got to get his whole game up because Jeselnik's very critical. He'll cut you down it quickly, so you got to show up in something flashy.
That's
bold.
True.
Yeah.
All right, let's start and do a little news about Cam Newton. Of course, that was the big story outside of course, the Broncos winning the Super Bowl and Peyton Manning. Hopefully, Peyton, not on. Step away. He won the ring and everything. Everybody talking about that. But Cam Newton's post-game press conference got a lot of heat. Famously now, he had the hood pulled up, a lot of one-word answers. He left after 2.5 minutes, and that led to the obvious and predictable criticisms. A lot of it warranted, but not something, as we talked about on Sunday, that you should, get too crazy about. On Monday, Newton spoke to the press from his locker, from his locker back in Charlotte. This is what he had to say first about the idea of how he should be comporting himself after a crushing loss of like what happened at Super Bowl 50. Your thoughts on that, Wes?
I've been a sore loser before many times. I am guilty of being a hyper-competitive person. It's a character flaw. doesn't make you a horrible person, though. I think if all this talk about who in the NFL is the LeBron James of football, if Cam wants to be the LeBron James of football, he has to handle these situations better.
Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I think, A, it brings all the hot takers out, and there's a little bit of annoyance because there is another aspect. When I found out that he could hear Chris Harris, and that we were in that room, the setup was dodgy. I mean, you could hear stuff from everywhere. You're hearing your opponent shred you while you're trying to ask these, answer these ridiculous questions. I understand where the frustration comes from, but bottom line, he's if you don't want to take all this heat, you've got to handle a different way. Does he learn from it?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't see a lot of like headlines about Chris Harris shredding anyone. I think he was probably gloating a little bit after the win, and I mean, Cam's just got to be a little mentally tougher than what he showed, and it seems like he gets that. But at the same time, one of Colleen's big things, and he's been saying this for years, and you gotta, you know, you gotta respect him and take him at his word, is that I'm not going to conform to how you want me to be. But just, I guess, the one thing that maybe, the only thing that bothers me a little bit is the idea of the way him acting that way is, that means like somehow he hates losing more than someone that goes up in the podium and answers questions respectfully for 10 minutes instead of 2.5. It doesn't make Cam a more competitive person. It just kind of makes him a guy that doesn't handle situations well at this point.
Well, I think he's an emotional guy. So all year long, all we've heard about is him just yucking it up and like being a ham in front of the camera. And he's been having a good time, and all of his emotions have been that way. They've been positive. They've been, I mean, however you look at it, he's been acting that way, and he hasn't been conforming. But we can't be mad at him for, when he's upset about losing, going the other way and being that emotional about it. I think that I'm an emotional person. When I'm angry, I show it. And I think that there's, but there's no way to hide it if that's the type of person that you are.
Part of it, though, is that it's your professional responsibility. It's not just about, hey, show us what mood you're in. I mean, these guys have, they have to go up there and answer the questions. I think that's what where some people get rubbed the wrong way.
And here's the more interesting thing that came out of Cam's meeting with the media, and I thought it was much more interesting as a debate. And this, I totally missed this, by the way, being at the game and not watching the telecast, was on the play where Von Miller had his second strip sack. This was about just over 4 minutes to play in the fourth quarter. It was third and long with the Panthers down 6 points. Miller gets in, strips the ball away, and there's a moment where it appears Newton has a chance to really dive in there and get the loose ball, but he shies away from contact, doesn't get down on the ground. The ball squirts around, recovered by Denver. A few minutes later, they score what ended up being the clinching touchdown. He caught some heat, and Phil Simms for CBS didn't do him any favors by essentially calling out Cam for not getting on the ground after the ball. So people asked about his effort on the play. This is what Cam had to say about that.
We didn't lose that game because of that fumble, I can tell you that. So, you know, you can condemn and say, well, oh, man, he gave up, he did that in the third. But, hey, as long as my teammates know, as long as my coaches know, as long as anybody that's following this team knows, I mean, it's easy for a person to nitpick and say, oh, man, Cam did this, oh, he gave up, he did that. That's cool, that's fine. I mean, I'm a grown man. I can understand that.
So he also said the reason why he didn't dive is that he felt that his leg would be contorted in a way where he could have suffered a potentially serious injury. So I'm of two minds on this, guys, because part of it is I'm not going to, as a non-professional athlete, which I'm not, I don't know if you guys know that.
News.
Not to,
thanks for clarifying.
To make some type of judgment about what he saw on the field, like what I think he has an innate ability, and he's been healthy almost his entire career, to know how to stay healthy, to have maybe another sense that most people don't about how a play is unfolding around him. But at the same time, if I'm a Panthers fan, it didn't – I mean, that was the game. And there did – to me, there was a lack of awareness to realize if I don't get on this ball and if somebody on my team doesn't get on this ball, our season's over. So I can kind of see it from both sides.
You can see him sort of jump away from the ball in that situation. There were other people who said, well, yeah, he was thinking maybe there was a rebound opportunity there. If everybody jumped on it, then he could get the ball back. But the fact that he didn't dive down for it, I don't know. I can't get behind that. I think that when you're in the Super Bowl, you got to put your body on the line.
Yeah, I mean, I think from the specific play, I hear that. I mean, overall, the idea that Cam Newton isn't someone that puts his body in the line of danger game after game. I mean, all of his players and coaches came out to say, we totally would not buy that. He absolutely sells out all the time. And I think that that's what his comment came from. It's more about in-house, if there was a question about that, that would be a problem. But You're coming out of the Super Bowl. Where were we a year ago? Should they run? Should they pass Marshawn Lynch? There's going to be way too much furious breakdown. And I don't know.
As is the case with his press conference behavior, nobody will speak about this after this weekend. It will be a non-issue. Going into week one of next year, this is not going to be a talking point.
Panthers fans will remember it, though. I guarantee there's a lot of Panthers fans that will, if they do get back and win this game, there will be some people like, why didn't Cam get after that ball? I think there's part of me that also thinks, did Denver kind of, you know, break his will a little bit in that game, and he lost a little bit of that edge at the end of the game. I think for 4 hours things went against him after an unprecedented in his career period of success. I don't know. I found it to be fascinating watching that. I was like, whoa, because I missed it totally for 2 days, and when I saw the replay, it struck me as interesting.
When the Broncos lost to the Seahawks, a ton of Seattle players said, yes, we broke the Broncos early and we could tell out in the field. There were whispers of that from Denver's players too, that happened. And this is a Carolina team that had not had to play from behind over and over and you know, come against such a physical defense. So you might be right, Dan.
Moving on, Marshawn Lynch, of course, in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, tweeted out an image of cleats hanging from darkness. I don't know what it was.
Hanging from a telephone wire, as they do in some neighborhoods I used to deliver mail in.
Okay.
I remember that growing up, too.
And that was, of course, a clear allusion that he was ending his career, which we had heard rumors of for a couple of weeks. And this was done in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, which is a weird move. We talked about it a little bit on Sunday's show, so why don't we get into it a little bit. Marshawn Lynch, and I'll start right here, Colleen. Hall of Famer?
I don't know. I think that when you look at his numbers, and I guess especially in the postseason, if TD isn't in the Hall of Fame, I mean, TD's numbers are right ahead of him. How can you put Marshawn Lynch in there? I think he's right on the cusp, and I think that if he does get in, it won't be right away. But I'm not sure for me if he's a surefire Hall of Famer.
I agree. I think he needed one or two more great seasons and another great playoff run or two. He's going to be interesting. Backs of this era, Adrian Peterson's a lock. Where do you put Marshawn Lynch versus a guy like Frank Gore? I know Greg would vote for Frank Gore. How much does postseason success matter? And I agree with Colleen. I would put Terrell Davis in before Marshawn Lynch. Mm-hmm.
He was a defining player of his generation. And, you know, one of the craziest play calls in NFL history, if they give him the ball against the Patriots last year and he goes in for a touchdown – not that play itself, but just the fact that he would then have back-to-back Super Bowl titles on his resume like Terrell Davis does, in addition to the big numbers. I think he's right on the borderline, but, you know, I think that maybe – I think he's maybe a better player than Terrell Davis because from the historical perspective, because he was better for a longer period of time.
What about a guy like Eddie?
He's like a flash in the pan.
He's like a guy like Eddie George who's not going to go in the Hall of Fame. To me, very similar player.
I mean, not as dominant.
What about Fred Taylor?
Corey Dillon, to me, a better running back than Marshawn Lynch.
Interesting.
And Corey Dillon will not be in the Hall
of Fame. If TD hadn't gotten hurt, I wonder if we'd be speaking about his career a little bit differently, too.
I'm sure we would.
Yeah.
And now what does this mean for the Seahawks, who appeared to have found a replacement last season, of course? And do you think they will take a step back without Marshawn Lynch, or were they already preparing for life after beast mode?
Well, Thomas Rawls outplayed him severely this year, and we saw this season Russell Wilson played much better when Marshawn Lynch wasn't on the field. His passer rating was 30 points higher. This offense is now more of a passing offense with Russell Wilson. I think that Lynch was going to be weeded out regardless.
You also have Kristen Michael, who showed some stuff finally at the end of the year.
Get it in?
I had to squeeze that little factoid.
And Pete Carroll said he wanted him to come back.
Wants him to come back. I mean, it's not a terrible draft if you're looking.
He's going to come
back
with
high.
No knowledge of the playbook. We just need to know that about Kristen Michael.
Thomas Rawls is the man. Absolutely. It's not going to be Kristen Michael. It's going to be Thomas.
Like
Rawls.
I think it's actually it cleans up Seattle's offseason to not have to deal with questions about Marshawn Lynch from now until the end of forever. You've got Rawls. If he comes back and he's fully healthy, it's a neater scenario for them. I like it.
All right, moving on to more Johnny Manziel drama. Mike Silver, of course, NFL media columnist, was on the air on Friday from San Francisco, and he relayed some conversations that he had with Browns players, and then he reported this again on Tuesday, citing multiple sources, that Johnny Manziel showed up to the Browns facility late and noticeably drunk on the Wednesday prior to Cleveland's Week 17 game against the Steelers. Mark, remind me, who did they play in week 16?
Kansas City, I believe.
He took a beating, I remember. Seattle, wasn't it?
No, it was Kansas City, I believe. I will confirm that while you continue on speaking.
He did. Okay, good. He took a beating in that game. He ended up not playing in week 17. Later in that week, of course, he didn't show up for the mandatory check-in for concussion protocol. So now we know, or at least now it's reported, that Manziel was showing up drunk. So it's just the latest thing that, and how far out this guy is and how desperate he needs help.
Bobby Lane, one of the best quarterbacks of the 50s, routinely showed up drunk for games. Kenny Stabler, who will get inducted into the Hall of Fame, Oilers teammates have accused him of showing up drunk for playoff games and costing them wins. Wow. Just goes to show how much football and sports have changed over the past 4 or 5 decades.
Well, all right, and it's one thing if he's showing up drunk and he's a 16-game starter who's lighting up the league. I mean, it's been one thing after another with him, and this isn't the 1950s, and so you've got to have the complete buy-in of your locker room. And usually, a lot of times when it's been people talking, it's been guys on offense who have wanted to tell the truth about Manziel. Because if your quarterback is sort of a fly-by-night character, then your team is doomed. Bottom line. And so I think Cleveland, obviously, we know they're going to get rid of him. And it's just a matter of, will he ever play again at this point?
I mean, he clearly has a problem. And I feel like his whole life, he's been sort of given everything. He's been given everything, and he's had an easy way out. And this is obviously an issue because he's not winning games and he's not playing well, and now he's showing up drunk. I mean, anybody else in any other profession, any one of us, would be fired on the spot if we showed up drunk to work. And
that's essentially what's about to happen to Johnny Manziel.
Right.
And I think this is part of the reason why that's happening.
But it's just a total train wreck with him. And I don't know if he'll have another another chance, and I guess he should. I mean, Von Miller talked about it.
I don't even know if it's something we shouldn't even really talk about it right now because his dad is coming out in the media and saying that has concerns that he'll live for his 24th birthday. So it's like these problems are so serious and life-threatening at this point that football, it's in the deep distance.
Yeah, when your agent drops you, it's an indication that your agent has – a month ago, everyone's like, oh, you know what? Cleveland will just hand Johnny Manziel to another team and he'll become some successful Brett Favre part two. But the agent knows the temperature of the league, and there is no need for Johnny Manziel right now.
I was trying to offer some historical perspective, but by no means am I downplaying what Johnny Manziel has gone through.
No, we don't think
he's done to himself and to other people.
We don't even.
I more read into that as Wes, you celebrating that aspect of
no
NFL's past.
Trying to give a little history, but yes, he clearly has issues that he needs to solve.
Moving on, a little quick contract talk regarding the two Super Bowl teams. Von Miller, fresh off one of the more dominating defensive performances in Super Bowl history, is going to be or scheduled to be a free agent in March. Obviously, I'm going to put it at literally 0% that he's going to reach the open market. It just comes down to whether Denver puts the franchise tag on him or gets a long-term deal done. John Elway, the team's GM, spoke confidently about the possibility of getting a deal done. He said the goal is always to get a long-term deal. And then Vaughn was on the Ellen Show. That's, the Ellen Show, whenever you need to break NFL news, whenever you want to find out the pulse.
You go straight to Ellen.
Where
National
else
Football
would you go?
League.
Didn't Brandon Marshall Ellen. Break some news on the Ellen Show?
Absolutely. That's what I'm talking about. Vaughn had this to say to, again, Ellen. I want to stay Ellen DeGeneres, former actress now, affable TV host.
I think we know.
Came out of the closet, a famous gay pioneer.
Dan, this is the longest intro of all time.
The cover
what
of
did
Time
Von Miller
magazine,
say?
The cover of Time magazine, yep, I'm gay, in 1997. Here's the quote from Von Miller. I want to stay with the Broncos for 15 to 20 years. Doesn't make sense, but money talks, right? Yeah, it does. And the other news, Dave Gettleman, the Panthers general manager, mum on the team's plans to tag Josh Norman, the cornerback. Of course, Norman looking to get paid after his breakout season. And Gettleman keeping it close to the vest about the franchise tag. We've got to look at it. I've used it before. I'm not shy. I'm not afraid of it. We're going to do what we think after we evaluate everything. Wes, is there any chance the Panthers would decide that a franchise tag or a long-term deal wasn't in their best interest with Josh Norman?
I don't think he'll hit the market. I am doing some free agent work this week with Greg out of the office. We'll have our top 101 free agents by the end of the month. And Von Miller's number one on our list. Josh Norman will be in the top three. So these two guys will both be getting paid, at least at the franchise level.
Wes, good of you to pick up the slack while Greg sips wine upstate.
Or does the podcast. Guys,
Greg definitely checked in via Slack today. He's doing some boss type stuff.
Guys, I'm concerned about this. That's it. Like, I'm not saying.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that I know for a fact.
I wouldn't talk about it here. I think we should.
Like, he wouldn't do that to us, would he?
No, you raise a good point. Am I talking too long?
I feel like we've built something here for it to be thrown away for like a buddy-buddy podcast.
He might be listening.
Okay.
Moving on. Finally, some sad news to report. Atlanta Falcons owner Arthur Blank announced Tuesday he has been diagnosed with prostate cancer. He was diagnosed in December, a treatable form of cancer, said the longtime owner. He purchased the Falcons in 2002, 73 years old, co-founder of Home Depot, the giant retail hardware store. So during the Falcons ownership, they've won the NFC South three times, made six playoff appearances. So Arthur Blank, get healthy.
One of the most respected owners league-wide, so absolutely.
Sharp, good dresser. Get well soon, Mr. Blank. And that's what's happening. Good news, guys. Really sharp stuff, incisive. Colleen sitting to my right, it just felt right.
It's great. Yeah, no, I like this much better.
Let's now move on to a little winners and losers of Super Bowl 50 talk. Before we come, this is kind of how we'll close the door on the 2015 season with this conversation. So let's go with kind of, you know, a rollicking convo between the four of us, throwing out winners and losers. You know, make sure you make it clear before you say whether it's a winner or loser. You don't want to confuse the audience and the people inside the studio. I'll get it going. I'll start with a winner, and I'm going to say DeMarcus Ware is a big-time winner. So this is your example, Mark.
Okay, thank you.
A guy who played in the league for 11 years, got his ring, and I think that ring put DeMarcus Ware in the Hall of Fame. He's sitting at 11th in NFL history in sacks. He's one more kind of DeMarcus Ware-like season. He'll be in the top five, and now he's got the ring to top it off. So sometimes with those pass rushers, just having the sacks isn't enough, but you give him a ring as well. DeMarcus Ware, big winner, baby.
Yeah, and he said how
I wasn't calling you baby, Colleen, even though I was looking
I mean,
at you.
It's fine. It got a little uncomfortable on the right. But, he said it was a little bittersweet, the win, just because he didn't get to celebrate it with any of his Cowboys teammates. He would have loved to have Jason Witten there or Tony Romo or any of those guys to celebrate it with, which I think is interesting. I just watched that 30 for 30, the Four Falls of Buffalo.
Yeah.
And when I was watching that, it had a little bit of that to it. And I can't imagine being a veteran player and playing with a team for so long and trying to get there and then switching to another team and winning it, how you can't have those feelings.
Kind of like a Rosenthal parallel to what's happened with us in his rival show.
Exactly.
Very fair. Who else got one?
I think the Super Bowl is only about half about football and it's half about all the other stuff. And one of the winners that got buried when we, you know, naturally we went and unpacked the halftime show, but how about Lady Gaga with the national anthem?
Crushed
it. Planes flying over. I mean, you know, Whitney Houston probably will always.
Wait, you're giving her credit for the plane? She had nothing to do with that.
I think she did. She probably signed off on that, said I need some air equipment, some stuff to fly overhead.
Air equipment.
Listen. Oh, she had one assignment, and she absolutely nailed it. And I think Whitney Houston is the one I'll never forget because of the circumstances of what was happening to the world at that time and how she just blew it out of the park. When a lot of times these things pre-Whitney Houston were kind of mailed in, she set the standard. But Gaga, her hair's crazy if you're watching on YouTube.
It was a great
eyeshadow.
Fantastic. Amazing.
I might have to go back and listen to it because when I heard it, we were at the game. It was a goosebumps moment. I thought it was right there, as good as Whitney Houston.
And we don't typically care about this stuff.
No.
So,
but it was fantastic.
The Kissing Cousins, yeah.
Yeah, we don't really care.
It was a nice classic version, too. She didn't go overboard. No.
She's a classically trained musician.
Yeah.
She is. I think that's the one thing a lot of people, and if you're watching on YouTube, you've seen those jets that Gaga
demanded. I get chills watching.
She demanded them.
According to Mark Sessler, NFL Media Insider.
She's a sorceress.
But she's a great freaking singer too.
Yes,
and I think a lot of people just think she's like fluffy pop chick, but that's not the case. Who else has got one? How about a loser? Somebody talk about a loser.
How about
I got one more winner.
Oh, go ahead, Wes.
Peyton Manning.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
I'm not usually one to defend him, but when's the last time?
I like this.
You know the statement, you can't defeat Father Time? Peyton Manning just did. When is the last time you saw anybody in any sport win something while they were washed up? And it was abundantly clear all season, and even more so in this game, that he is washed up. He can't play another season. He knows that.
I wish he would have thrown a touchdown.
It would have been
not nice. To take anything away.
At least
from
he got
it,
the 2-point
conversion. That really
he beat Father Time, and it adds to his legacy.
I think it. I'm with you. I think it kind of was almost like a Final Destination moment, where somehow he was able to put off death or trick death, and he hung around just long enough to get the ring. It's amazing because on NFL Network, we were even talking about it in the newsroom this morning, that they're playing a bunch of the Broncos' big games from 2015. It's not an easy watch because Peyton Manning's been bad pretty much.
I had to turn off my TV because watching bad football over and over again.
With the exception of maybe two to three games all year, he was not good this season. And yet, in all the seasons where he went out empty-handed, it took him like 6 years to even win a playoff game, he wins a Super Bowl this year. Very ironic. We're going to come back to Winners West, so I didn't want you to have to think like you don't have a chance to get back in. But how about a loser?
Let's go with his brother, Eli Manning.
Oh, too soon.
I know. But listen, now, I mean, Eli always had the two rings. He could hold the two rings over Peyton's head. Now they both have two rings, and I feel like if you're sitting at that Thanksgiving table – I don't know. I don't know about Eli. I think that all the attention goes right to Manning or to Peyton all the time, and Eli's just the little brother.
Wow. I guess you're putting stock into the CBS.
I'm putting a lot of stock into that. I don't know. Find out what that was about?
Yeah, we did, actually. I wrote about it. Thanks for reading our website. No, but
I did read that piece.
In a total Eli Manning brother type thing, he said that as soon as C.J. Anderson scored the touchdown – in his mind, and you can watch on YouTube right now, he's trying to figure out whether they should go for two, which is a very –
isn't that incredible?
I totally believe that.
I buy it because that's what – he's going to think the way every conversation he has with Peyton Manning. Do we really think that he's not happy for his brother?
That's insane.
No.
I can't believe anybody would
he's
think that.
He's got to be happy.
I'll throw out another loser, Ted Ginn Jr.
Ooh.
The one thing about the Super Bowl, and the playoffs in general, but the Super Bowl takes things – all the way up another notch is it will cement your legacy, how people perceive you, whether it's as a warrior or someone that's soft. Ted Ginn Jr., to me, I mean, everyone's going to think of Ginn as this guy that made a lot of plays with Cam Newton after years of kind of floundering in the league. But in the Super Bowl, the guy's stepping out of bounds every chance he gets.
That play.
Fearing contact.
That's who Ted Ginn's been his whole career.
And, you know, and one of the more underrated plays of the Super Bowl when the Panthers were marching in a one-score game. He lets a pass go through his fingers over the middle, so maybe showing a little fear of going over the middle. There's one play in particular that I remember watching from our press box where it seemed like if he cut back inside on a long reception, he could have gone to the house. Instead, he steps out of bounds. So I thought Ted Ginn, not a loser as a person, but within the prism of Super Bowl 50.
Circumstances.
Yeah, what else we got?
You got one, go.
The biggest loser, I think, is the legacy of the 2015 Panthers.
Saucy.
A team which was considered, if they had won the Super Bowl, maybe in the top five teams of all time, and that will not be the case. You can't even put them with the 2007 Patriots, who went undefeated during the regular season. So I think they had a chance for something, and it won't go down like that.
I think you're absolutely right. And part of me is like, well, maybe the idea of like legacy is kind of silly because they had one bad day. And now they don't even get in that conversation where they would have been top five if the Broncos played poorly, for instance.
Nerds would have broken it down and said they never really played anybody until the playoffs anyway.
Right. That's sports, though. And I really think if they would have – I think they would have had to –
what?
What?
Nerds will do that.
Wes just goes off on nerds.
Well, they're not here for me to administer a wedgie, so you have to give them a verbal wedgie.
Well, I don't know. I feel like all year we talked about, well, at least at the beginning of the year with the Panthers when Kelvin Benjamin went down, how the heck they were going to have any type of offense. And now we're turning Ted Ginn into a very soft character and talking about the ways that he didn't finish plays and he just ran out of bounds. So I don't know. Maybe you do look at the whole season and say, I can't believe they actually got to where they were with the role players that they had.
They should be celebrated for that.
I'll throw out a loser, and if we're going to talk about Gaga, throw out Beyonce.
Why?
Mm, wow.
And there are people, I think there's even like a protest outside the New York office, and I don't know what that's about.
It already seems legit.
I'm sure it's rooted in racism or something like that, something bogus. I just didn't like that she played her new single.
What?
That's all I'm saying. It's like, you are on the Super Bowl stage. Beyonce.
You've kind of come 180 from Sunday night on this.
No, no, that's how I felt on Sunday. I'm repeating myself.
You said that Greg made a good point that it was a badass move because she has enough power to do it?
Yes, but I didn't mean I agreed with it. I just said I get that point, and it does show how much power she has. But, you know, give me Crazy in Love.
Yeah, I think
– give me Single Ladies. Give me something, Beyonce. Do not abuse your incredible –
totally
bandwidth.
Agree with you.
I think she made a mistake, though, in dropping that song, what, the day before? She should have dropped it, like, maybe 2 weeks before.
Okay.
And then if she played
and
it,
then if it's
at
a
least,
hit.
Yeah, well, at least fine. People would have, like, that would have resonated a little bit more, I think.
This is the biggest stage in the world. What are you saving your good stuff for? A concert in Grand Rapids, Iowa later this year? Come on.
I don't think she's a loser for it. I mean, still, you look at Coldplay. Why don't you put Coldplay on the list?
Because I don't think Coldplay was terrible. I think Coldplay was Coldplay.
You think Coldplay was better than Beyonce?
No.
Well, hold on. Coldplay is what they are, and they did exactly what I thought they'd do. I think with Beyonce, you're expecting a certain thing, and you're saying you got something that you're
people
not
like
excited
afterwards,
about.
People were like, oh, Bey, she did it again. But in this case, people were just kind of convincing themselves of that, it felt. Anything else?
Your analysis is very on point for this.
Thank you, Kristen.
I've got a loser. All right. It pains me to – I'm not calling –
you kind of said that like Donald Trump, by the way.
I did?
I got a loser.
I don't know about the accent, but – okay. I'm not calling this person a loser because he's a coworker who works very hard. David Ely, our editor downstairs, one of the biggest Panthers fans I've ever met, one of the only Panthers fans I've ever met, made what I consider to be a massive miscalculation. We have a morning editor that had to come in at like 4 in the morning and then stay through basically the start of the game. He opted to be in the office for his own reasons during the entire game and the hideous aftermath.
Wow.
Brought with him a bottle of champagne.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Which we've got to somehow insert that photo into this.
Was that like was his choice? Well, actually,
they have his picture.
You know,
I just saw that.
He works down. He's working right now in the newsroom.
He is.
Brandon, I know. Listen.
Can we call him?
The vengeance drop didn't work out. And listen, we're all upset, a little disappointed about it. But I think, can we get Ely on the phone, and I have a couple questions for him.
I'll see what I can do here. Here we go. You guys should be able to talk to him here.
Okay. There's people. It's like.
We're sorry.
He doesn't want to talk to you.
Well,
is no longer in
disconnected number.
I feel terrible for Dave Ely.
You sound like you do.
But I do.
Smile.
My question is like. You got to work the early shift. Was it a glory boy move to be there because he wanted to be there for the game? You know what I mean?
I think the champagne tells us it was a glory boy move.
I wonder what he did with the champagne, if he'd like actually just like left with it.
I have a feeling I know.
The other thing that hurts is that we did tell him he would appear on this podcast if they won the Super Bowl. He had a stage. And
he's our friend, and like it's not we're not into seeing our friends suffer most of the time.
Yeah. All right. Who's got any other winners and losers before we move on? Wes, it sounds like you got one.
From one Ely to another. Coney Ely is a big winner.
Ooh.
Panthers, they feel better, Dave
Ely.
Panthers defensive end has one of the best games in Super Bowl history from a defensive player. If they gave away MVPs to the losing team, he would have gotten it. And I think it shows that he only played 23 snaps and had 3 sacks, forced fumble, interception. He's going to be playing a lot more snaps in 2016 and could be one of their best defensive players.
I mean, can we get after the Panthers for, you know, botching this a little bit? Once he started making plays early in the game, should he have had a bigger role? Maybe he could have saved the game with a big play.
Maybe if he was playing every snap, he wouldn't have had the energy to make all these big plays. Mm.
That's fair too, Wes. Fair point. Fair point. All right, one more loser.
Yeah,
Mark, go ahead.
I want to end negative. And while I thought the environment at Levi's Stadium was amazing. Because it got knocked last year for being a little too quiet. Well, the 49ers stunk, so there's a reason for that. Sure. But it was electric. But the field, and especially some of the vines that were coming out today, where they show Michael Orr just getting pushed back like his feet are on ice, absurd. And, I mean, after the game, Aqib Talib ripped the field and basically said – couldn't even name what team played in San Francisco, but he was like, whatever team plays.
Which, by the way, is a bad job.
Well, I'm not saying he's
not the Jacksonville Jaguars.
He had other things on his mind, but if he's basically saying whoever has to play at this field 8 games a year, it is they need to fix the surface. And we saw that happen with the Texans earlier in the year. You got to get this thing fixed.
Yeah, didn't someone earlier this year, like, it was like a sinkhole in the field.
It was Justin Tucker, the Ravens kicker. It did remind me watching, and I think if you are an NFL fan, you saw the GIF Or the GIF. I don't know what you
guys I don't know.
Ellen, she came out, and it was a major moment in Hollywood, a celebrity coming out of the closet. I mean, it was a big thing.
We've gone back to this. Okay.
What?
Oh.
I don't know what you're talking
I lost my train of thought. What were we talking about?
GIF versus GIF.
Before that.
Pitchy skid.
Oh.
Pitchy skid.
If you saw this,
skinny pitch, whatever.
It did remind me of like old Madden 94 on Sega Genesis, like the graphic glitch where somebody just starts sliding as opposed
God,
to like
yeah.
backing up. So, I don't know. Maybe it's time for some field turf. Maybe
I
San
think
Francisco.
So. I'm gonna address this.
No, it smelled great after the game. We went down there and it smelled like earth. I liked it.
That was a little bit of a humble brag.
Was it?
No,
we were on the field.
We were on the field of Super Bowl 50.
Well, I was saying that we personally smelled the field. We couldn't do it from the press box. We had to be on the field to
smell. That's true. All right. Good winners and losers, seg guys. Really good stuff. Finally, before we go, I do want to touch on, because we said we were going to the meetup at the, what was it called? The San Francisco?
Tap House. Tap Room.
Yeah. Golden Gate.
Golden Gate. Tap Room. Yeah. Thank you. We met up with a number of Around the NFL listeners, and Colleen, you were not in attendance. You were invited, but you kind of a little no call, no show.
No, we had this like NFL mandatory thing that we were supposed to go to, and I went to that. You guys were there, and then I texted you guys, nothing, radio silence.
But
so
you
then
knew where
I went
we were.
And met up with you after, because you had already left.
Oh, right. I don't remember a lot after. I will say this, that everyone that we met, I mean, they couldn't have been nicer. A lot of greyhounds were served to me, which led to some fogginess as the evening
yes.
went on. But I remember every conversation, and everyone was very nice. So it was a great success, I thought.
I didn't buy a single drink all night, and
cool.
I had an absolute blast. Everyone was great to talk to. Football only came up two or three times, and for me, that was great. I wasn't there to talk football. I was there to meet people and hear about their lives, and it was a fantastic time.
We stayed till the bitter end
with
a crew of about seven or eight. And you're right. There were every time you turn around, someone's handing you a beer or drink, and you know, my wife was there, and I think she was blown away by not just the people, but the people were cool. Like, she was talking to them
cool.
for ages. I mean, it was a good
my
group.
Kind of people.
But that was a great meetup. Thank you, everyone, for coming.
I'm sorry I missed it.
Next time.
We have to do it again.
I mean, another one. If it happens, maybe.
The off season has been kicked off with a bang. We're going to be dealing with this for the next 3 months, if not four or five.
We'll be back on Thursday, which is tomorrow. Another big show because, again, like you heard in the PSA, although the Super Bowl's over, there's a lot going on. So we will start looking ahead to free agency.
We might have a surprise guest on Thursday, too.
Ooh.
We might.
Mm.
That's very true.
That's a nice little tease.
Yeah, so good tease. Very professional. Colleen, you've said it all, and you've done it again. Thank you.
This was great, and I hand it off to Lindsay Rhodes for tomorrow.
Right. A scepter.
Yes, that's what I said.
Is it a crown? What, like, what do you,
no,
what do you imagine
handing
off?
No, scepter is what I gave Rosie for those, like, the Secret Santa.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
True. That was great. So, yes, Colleen steps out. Lindsay steps in. So, big show coming up Thursday. Make sure you tune back in. Until then, this is Dan Hanzus signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, Connie Fox, Brandon behind the glass. Till Thursday!